Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, especially these words. Jesus answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desired." And her daughter was healed instantly. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, in a very important facet of faith has to do with knowledge of oneself. When I was at seminary, they taught us in many classes, they taught us about biblical hermeneutics, it's called, which is just a fancy way of saying how we interpret Scripture. Now, as Lutherans, we interpret Scripture as God's Word, and therefore, our hermeneutic is a very simple one. Scripture interprets Scripture. In other words, we don't just stand over Scripture and say, "I judge that it says this and says this." Scripture has to interpret Scripture because it is God's Word. Of course, there are a lot of different hermeneutics, and the case in point would be this text. Okay, this is kind of a rough text when you look at it. And, I mean, Jesus calling a lady a dog and stuff, I mean, that's not really nice. I read lots of different commentaries that used lots of different hermeneutics on this text. And for many of them, I mean, just to be put things on the best side, they were just saying Jesus was having a bad day or he had a headache or something. And, you know, he felt bad or, you know, bad later about what he said to this lady. But, you know, it was just kind of a mistake. One that really jumped out at me, though, was this, because it was kind of bizarre. And I've heard it before. It came from a commentary entitled "A Feminist Interpretation of Scripture." All right. And I read some of the biographical information from this lady herself. Actually, it's a group of women writing this. And she sees herself as one struggling to advocate for women's rights based on equality. Okay, right from the start, I'm all for that. Okay? So don't boo me during this sermon. Okay? I think we are equal. We're created equal. God sees us as equal. We're different yet equal. All right. But when you link that, and she seeing basically that as the complete definition of her life is fighting for the rights of women. And you link that with a view of Scripture where it is not God's Word. Reading the information, the introductory to this book, it's very clearly not seen as God's Word. It's Word written by men. Boo, right? And they're putting women down, and it's all throughout there. And so the intent of this interpretation, this hermeneutic, is to free Scripture from the patriarchal, you know, oppression of men. All right. Now, how do you think they dealt with this text? Well, let's see. Jesus wasn't having a bad day. No, Jesus is racist, and he's sexist. And this woman, heroically, as a single parent, right, stands up to Jesus, and in so doing, liberates Jesus from all his racism and all his sexism, and he turns out to be a much nicer guy afterwards. Okay. In other words, the savior of this text is the woman, and Jesus is the one who is being saved. And thank goodness for this woman, because Jesus was nice to women ever after this. Okay, that's the hermeneutic, that's the interpretation that takes place in this text. Now, you can see a lot of it is based on how she views Scripture, or how they view Scripture, but most of it also has to do with how she views herself, who she is, and how she defines herself. That primarily she's someone fighting for rights. Now, when we look at ourselves in our faith, and it's a very important facet of our faith, how do we look at ourselves? As Christians, to look at ourselves honestly, you always begin with humility. It's the only way that you can see Jesus accurately. When I was in school, one of the poets that I kind of liked was Robert Burns. And I like the modern translation, the modern English of his poems. I think he's Scottish or something, so it's a little hard to understand what he's actually saying. But because his poems were kind of funny, and there's one that I liked. It's called "Ode to a Louse." Has everybody heard that one? He's sitting in church on Sunday, and he writes a poem because, you know, instead of listening to the sermon, he's doing something else because something is distracting him. Because there's this lady in front of him with a bonnet on, and he sees lice crawling around on her bonnet. And so he writes an ode to the lice that are crawling around on her head. that she doesn't know about. And the end stanza is a very good one. It says, "Oh, would some power the gift to give us, to see ourselves as others see us, it would from many a blunder free us. And foolish notion what errs in dress and gait would leave us and even devotion." In other words, if we could just see ourselves as other people see us, right? We would be much more humble people. I think many of us have experienced that. I preached about this many years ago. I'm not going to go into that depth, but like the time I was doing a Bible study for like 200-300 people at a conference in Traverse City, Michigan, when I was a vicar, and I had everybody's attention. They thought I was the greatest. They looked at me. They were whispering to each other, pointing at me, laughing with me. It was great. I was thinking, man, why am I going back to the seminary for a fourth year? I'm ready. Let me go, you know? And then I left, of course, and then someone pointed out to me that I had like 2 or 3 feet of toilet paper sticking out of the back of my pants. Okay? So I was walking around. This was trailing behind me the whole time. Now, see, then I saw myself as others saw me. Okay? That was a humbling experience. Never happened again. All right? But that's important, to see ourselves humbly. When I see this text, certainly it seems very problematic, as Jesus isn't being very nice here. Of course, he has a purpose. One big purpose is to teach the disciples something, which, by the way, he doesn't, again, tries to. But when we see this woman, we're seeing something very important. She approaches Jesus in humility. And therefore, she is able not to really interpret Scripture. She's interpreting Jesus himself in a way that is remarkably accurate. It's unlike anyone else, except for the centurion, that Jesus has run into. It certainly is far more accurate than the disciples. It's that accurate because it begins with humility. In fact, only one other person, as I said before, the centurion, Jesus lifts up their faith and says, "This is the greatest faith I have ever seen." Ironically, they're both Gentiles. And that's a good place to start with this text. She is not just a Gentile, it says she is a Canaanite. Now, the Jews' view of unclean people back then, all right, was like this. You got Samaritans here, and then you got Gentiles down here, and, I don't know, about 20, 30 feet below ground would be the Canaanites, okay? They really didn't like them. And so this Canaanite, who is also a woman, approaches Jesus. Everything is wrong that she's doing here. And she begs and pleads that Jesus help her. I think that's important. She doesn't say, "Help my daughter." She says, "Help me, because my daughter is possessed by a demon." And if anybody's taken care of someone over a long period of time, you understand that helpless feeling, frustration. It's just a hurtful feeling. That's why she's praying, "Help me, Jesus, so that I can help her." Now, you notice she doesn't demand that he help her out of righteousness. She doesn't demand that he do this out of justice or because she has dignity as a pure human being. She doesn't demand it because it's the right thing for Jesus to do. She pleads with him, resting only on his mercy. She's a Canaanite. He's a Jew. She has no right to expect anything from him. But she only depends on mercy. And what happens? Jesus doesn't answer her a word. Now, that seems kind of rude. But for this woman in her situation, it probably was encouraging, because at least Jesus didn't tell her, "Get out of here, you're driving me crazy," right? He's just not saying anything. Now, the disciples jump in there to say, "Get her out of here, that she's driving me crazy," right? That's not based on mercy. It's based on, you know, they're being irritated here. And then what does Jesus do? An interesting thing. He turns the entire conversation upon himself. He goes, "I was not sent to these people, but to the lost sheep of Israel." Then the woman steps it up even more, and her plea for help even becomes more basic. She just says, "Lord, help me." If you were here last week and you heard the words of Peter, don't they sound exactly the same? As Peter is not walking on water and is about to drown, he says, "Lord, save me." That's when Peter, in faith, understood exactly the situation he was in. He was going to die. And in seeing himself and his situation clearly and honestly, he was able to see Jesus and who Jesus was, the one who would save him. This woman understands her situation. She is completely helpless to help her daughter. Her daughter is going to die. And in seeing who she was, in total humility, she saw exactly who Jesus was. In faith, knowing that Jesus could help, and with a greater faith, knowing that Jesus would help. And then Jesus calls her a dog. All right. Now, there is a way that you can kind of, you know, make that a little nicer, which is actually accurate. Not that it's not an insult, but it's not as bad as you think. The Jews back then, Hebrew had, or Aramaic, had three different words for dogs. And they're the only three types of dogs you'd find out there. Most of the dogs you would see were wild dogs running around the street, incredibly dangerous. When you think about pigs being unclean to Jews, dogs were the lowest. They were even more unclean and dangerous. Wild dogs. Second were guard dogs. That's not the word Jesus is using here. They were dangerous too. These are relatively rare back then, okay, household pets. They're little dogs that would sit at your table when you're eating and beg. And if you have a dog, I'm sure he does that, or she, okay? That's what he's talking about. Now, granted, it takes a little edge off what Jesus is saying, but what he's saying is still an insult. I don't take the bread from children and give it to dogs. And then she comes up with her ultimate example of faith. She absorbs the insult. Fine. I mean, I'm at the lowest point of my life. Fine, I'm a dog. But as a dog, I also see that you're the master, and all I need from you is a crumb. That's it. And Jesus says, your faith is great, and her daughter is healed. I guarantee you, that's this entire exchange with Jesus and this woman, the disciples learned nothing. They would later, but not yet. You keep reading scripture and you see what? First of all, they completely see themselves in a very unrealistic way, and certainly humble would not be a word to describe it. They're always arguing with each other to see who's the greatest, right? Then, because they see themselves in a very inaccurate way, they don't see Jesus accurately and they don't interpret who he is. I mean, pretty soon, I think it's the next chapter, Jesus feeds 4,000 people, plus, with just a little bit of bread. Then as soon as that's over, they hop in the boat, and the disciples freak out because they only have one loaf of bread. What are we going to do? What? They haven't learned anything from the feeding of 5,000, from Jesus walking on water, from Jesus feeding 4,000. Haven't learned a thing about him, don't understand who they're following, but this woman does. And I pray the Holy Spirit leads us to learn the lesson that she is making clearly for us today. That is, number one, we have to view ourselves honestly. We pray not only that we view or we see ourselves as others see us, but we see ourselves as God sees us, more importantly. And he sees that we're weak, and he sees that we're sinful, and he sees that we're dying, and he sees we needed to be saved. And in that humility, then and only then, can we see exactly who Jesus is, the Savior who came to save us. And so we can cry out like Peter, drowning, and this woman facing the death of her daughter. And we can cry out to Jesus because we need help. And secondly, know we will get it. In Jesus' name, amen.